If you're a musician with wide-ranging interests, if you like a variety of musical styles, then how do you make the decision about where you're going to end up? Into which genre does your muse take you? Singer-songwriter Jennifer Warnes has spent her career crossing all sorts of musical boundaries, pop, country, folk, blues, you name it. She had two huge hits with movie themes, The Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing and Up Where We Belong from An Officer and a Gentleman. She also spent years touring and recording with Leonard Cohen, the Canadian poet and singer. Now Jennifer Warnes has released her first solo recording in 9 years and on her own record label called The Well.
We can make it, I know we can. Only time will tell. Let's take a walk down to the water. Let's go to the well.
Jennifer Warnes joins us from Los Angeles. Welcome. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
I want to get a little bit of background first for listeners who may not be familiar, or who may only be familiar with certain aspects of your career. Long time ago, in 1967, when you were about 20 years old, you used to perform on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour.
Now, that's right.
What was that like?
I really owe the Smothers Brothers a great deal for spotting me and saying, give this girl a chance. Really, they really changed everything for me.
So when you got pulled in, was it strictly as a singer, or did you also get to do some skits with him?
Yeah, I did skits and sang, and the rule of thumb was, it ain't necessarily so. What rule can we break today? And so I sharpened my teeth there. and then the world of art fell in my lap. And I met so many incredible people in the Velvet Underground and Leonard Cohen, and started working with different groups that made me look at life in different ways, and traveled all around the world with Leonard.
Why did you start touring with Leonard Cohen? Why did you want to perform with him?
I knew all the songs, and so I was in Nashville singing with Waylon Jennings on a TV show, and someone at that TV station said that Leonard Cohen was looking for a background singer, and they'd send a limo over if I wanted to go talk to him. So I went over on my lunch break over to CBS, and I got behind the microphone, and of course I knew all the material. So they said, pack your bags, passport, in 4 days you're going with us. And I'd never been a background singer before. That was a complete eye-opener to watch what European audiences do with his work. I mean, he's a revered figure. So I came back, when I came back, they offered me opening act in Neil Diamond. And I said, that's not something I can do. And then from that point on, because I didn't want to do music as a fancy trick. And that sort of set my course. And I became difficult to manage, difficult to market, difficult to pin down. And it became, to me, my career became about the exploration itself rather than, cutting off all possibilities so that I could present one singular marketable entity.
Famous Blue Raincoat, your Famous Blue Raincoat recording from 1987 was your tribute to Leonard Cohen. You did his songs in that recording. Why did you decide to do that? A whole album devoted to his work.
The band that backed him in 79, we kept looking at each other saying, why doesn't America get this? And the answer became, because Leonard is presenting his songs in an acoustic, gut-string, old-fashioned, folky way, and perhaps if we rhapsodize these songs and embellish them and paint them in a wide spectrum of colors and record them digitally and show the interior life that we know these songs to have, you know, maybe people will get it.
I hear that you're building your house deep in the desert. Are you living for nothing now? Hope you're keeping some kind of record. Yes, and Jane came by with a lock of your hair. She said that you gave it to her that night when you planned to go clear.
Jennifer Warnes, you have said that your appetites are huge. You like all kinds of music. You like to learn. Have you ever felt pressure, though, from whether it's from record companies or marketers or agents or the public, to declare yourself in this or that category?
Yes. And it's death to an artist to pin yourself down before you're ready. The years that I was making all those variety of musical statements, I was really going out on a limb to find out what part of this event reflected me, because I couldn't find myself in any one singular genre.
Who knows what tomorrow brings?
What's it been like to sing with some of the people you have sung with? The two big hits that you had that were duets, Up Where We Belong from An Officer and a Gentleman, and then also the one you sang with Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers, The Time of My Life, from Dirty Dancing. What's it like to sing with somebody else? Is it let's take Joe Cocker, for instance.
It's like sex without touching.
That much fun, huh?
That much fun. I wish more than anything in the world I could share with my listening public the pure joy it is to leap out of a plane with Joe Cocker. That's what it feels like. You're not lip syncing. You have no idea where he's going. You're just going. And to me, it's just like this. It's like extreme sports.
The lift is up where we belong, where the eagles cry on the mountain high. The lift is up where we belong.
Jennifer, why did you decide to bypass the big record companies and put this new CD, The Well, out on your own label?
Because they don't have any interest in my work. I could go on and on and say, you know, mean things about the majors, but the truth is that if I want to do it the way I want to do it, I've got to do it independently.
Well, on this new CD, you've arranged it's a combination of some original songs and then also songs by other people such as Billy Joel and Tom Waits and Arlo Guthrie. How did you decide when it came time to put together your first album in, almost 10 years, how did you decide what you wanted to put on it?
I made 2.5 albums in that 10-year period, and they didn't get released by major labels. You know, it's like looking for furniture or art, you know, that something catches your eye because it speaks to you and your who you are and your funny mixture of experiences.
Living now, here but for fortune, placed by fate's mysterious schemes. That we're the ones asked to try to rekindle the patriot's dream.
My gift to the music community is not so much the music, it's the fact that I did it under the conditions that I did it. And I'm not alone. I'm one of, I would say I'm 80% of the music business. So the fact that I can articulate it freely is good. I'm still here. I'm not dead, you know. You know, when I started out in music, Edith Piaf, I listened to Judy Garland, Billie Holiday, who died young and unhappily. So somewhere in my 20s, I realized that if I was going to improve on that generation, I had to make music that lasted, that would stay on shelves, make quality music, and not die young. That was all. Now what I see is that the generation that follows me needs to make music that lasts and that stays on the turntables and not die young and greatly flourish. That's the next step. So that's why I'm speaking out.
Jennifer Warnes, her new CD is called The Well. She spoke to us from Los Angeles. Thank you, Jennifer Warnes.
Thank you.
Hear that low humming underground. Hear the skylark in the dell. The wild world is speaking. Let's go to the well. Let's go.